when you think about sports, say the NRL or AFL, you think about the players on the field who've trained long and hard to be there. They've physically and mentally pushed themselves to their limit. But how often do we stop to think about the science behind the sport? Michael Rennie is a strength and conditioning coach with the Sydney Swans. He's also a PhD candidate at UTS, researching the demands of running in AFL. To do so, he's looking at millions of cells of information. But at the end of the day, he says data analysis in sport comes down to one main thing.
You're really trying to figure out the reasons why you win and why you lose. I think the hardest part is trying to change the way you do things in order for people to implement the changes on the field. And sport's such a dynamic environment. Things are always changing. The competition, the weather, the recovery that you've had, the mood that you've had, your home life can affect it. So I think trying to get people to put in the changes that you find out in your research, that's the hardest part. And I think that's the art of coaching. That's the biggest challenge in sports science, I think.
And how do you navigate that psychological tension in people's minds when you want to emphasize or look at their physical ability, but how do you then first take a step back and acknowledge that psychological health is important as well?
I think before we're sports scientists or before we're coaches, we sort of work on these personal relationships more than anything. And that, I think, in any good working environment, everyone has good relationships, and the managers and the leaders, they drive the interpersonal stuff. Most of the information that we get as far as our player development, our recovery and stuff goes is by talking to the players. We ask a lot of questions about their health, about their wellness, about their recovery, about which muscles are sore. So the value of the information comes directly from them, and that information is incredibly more valid, it's incredibly more reliable when you're trusting. Similar to when you go to the doctor, I guess the quality of the healthcare they provide you is really dependent on the information that you give them.
And for what end result, what is the ideal player that you're trying to establish?
The thing that you're trying to achieve as far as team performance goes is team cohesiveness. And that comes from, first of all, choosing the right players in your team that have the physical qualities, the technical qualities that you want, and then also really smart players that can implement the tactics that the coach wants to employ. And the tactics are always going to change depending on the opposition, the weather, that has a big impact in AFL. First and foremost, you need to try to develop a team that works well as a team.
And does that also come back to the creativity where you have to look at the different players and the different abilities and skills and then find a way of applying that in an innovative way?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've got 22 players in an AFL team, 18 players on the field at one time. Trying to get them to all execute the same tactics at the same time is very, very difficult. So first and foremost, I think you need to have a good coach that can teach the players about the tactics, how they think the game should be played, and then it's up to the players on game day to execute it.
For coaches and players, it's easy to understand how this type of data about performance and health could play into their training plans. But there's another way data is changing the game. Matt Jeffries is a strength and conditioning coach and rehabilitation coordinator for the NRL referees. And he's also a UTS PhD candidate looking at referee performance and decisions. But with video footage playing more of a role in referee decisions and data becoming more and more accessible, I wanted to know if the next step would be replacing referees with robots.
I definitely hope not. If sporting decisions were just black and white, the whole entertainment concept would go. And that's sort of why we're pushed to give it more context. If it were so black and white, the whole spectacle would just go out the window. The referees themselves will evaluate their own performance and they're scored metrically on their decision making, but I think the whole idea of the AI referee is a little bit scary.
What is that entertainment value? What's the enjoyment that comes from having a referee on the field, interacting with players and having that experience?
When you get to this level, basically the sport is just entertainment. We know that the money comes from media deals, it's from online views, it's from subscriptions. So I don't think many of the referees are deluded in thinking that they're the centre of attention for the game. We know that it's an entertainment value. In saying that, we're not out there to sort of get the most on-edge seat in the end. I remember an interview from one of the referees who actually said that he doesn't care about the outcome of the game, he's just out there to referee as best as he can.
Could you argue then that sports science has gone too far or could go too far? Are we at risk of losing the fun?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're in an age, especially in sports science at the moment, where it's sort of the data tsunami. We can collect numbers and metrics on every single thing. the good thing about sport is that has that unpredictability and that passion, and I don't think we should ever go away from that. So yes, I think we can push it too far.
Something that struck me today that I'd never thought of is the fact that refs are sports people. They are incredibly fit. They go through training. Do you think that people realise that?
Not at all. Often when I tell people that I'm involved with the High Performance Department of Referees, one, like you said, they don't even know that they train. They don't know how hard and how physically they train. So up to three to four physical sessions a week, but then their own coaching and evaluations and mental skills training that they do as well. I think at the junior levels, people think the referees just turn up with a whistle, which is okay. But again, even at that level, they're doing some training throughout the week. So you've got to realise that these guys are training. They are performing a difficult task out there. They're going to make mistakes. So there has to be a level of sympathy out there for them and a bit of empathy for what they do and the pressure that they're on. There's not many other jobs in the world where your decisions are scrutinised so heavily to the point that you get home from a day's work and there's up to 100 people on social media saying all sorts of things that they want to do to you because your team lost by 2 to 3 points.
Them and politicians. do people still want to be referees despite all of that?
You sort of would wonder why you would want to be a referee, but what we're doing now is sort of restructuring the referee system so that there's a national structure and that we do have sort of junior tiers and junior academies. And we do still see people coming through, and you must wonder why at the top level because of the scrutiny they get, but there is still that love for the game at the junior levels and people that just want to be involved in the game. So again, fostering that at the junior levels to increase retention rates is where we've got to go, and a lot of more effort has got to come from the game to foster that, to get those referees coming through the ranks and the support system that's around it, so that if they are abused by a parent from the sideline, that they know there's systems in place that we can help them there to promote them and not just steer them away from the game.
So from a data collection perspective and from a training perspective, where are we heading if there is that risk of going too scientific, too data heavy?
Again, there's a lot of gut feel in it. So we can provide reports and numbers to the coaches and the referee boss. In the end, he makes a decision on who goes where. And it's the same with the referees. We can give them data around anything. And the interesting thing about the referees is they're that intelligent that they want to learn. They want to know the statistics behind it. But in saying that, they also know that the statistics that we give them really isn't going to go out there with them when they cross that white line. I'm not going to be able to go out there and help them make better decisions on the field, and no two games are ever going to be the same. So it's about giving them the tools during the week that they can use, and then for them doing what they do best, which is being the best referees in the world.